This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Charles Caldwell. He's a solutions engineer director at a local company called Logi Analytics. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
Good morning, John. Doing great.
Most of us have never heard of Logi Analytics. Real easy. You can go find them online, LogiAnalytics.com. I brought them in because I think they may have some solutions for my federal IT professionals who are listening to the show. And I got to tell you how I stumbled on this company, and Charles, I don't know if you know this or not. So I listen to federal IT people, CIOs, and I feel what the problems are, and I try to come up with solutions. And I was going, well, you know, there's a lot of data out there in the federal government. How can they make sense of it? And I said, well, there's got to be analytic companies out there. And I looked at the big ones like SAS and IBM. I said, IBM? Well, that's like a sledgehammer when people want just a small little tool. And so I looked around at this company. I said, Herndon? They're in Herndon? I started asking around about you. And I found, hey, this big, good reputation. I said, well, maybe they're good candidates for an interview. Separate from me, my chief technology officer of my company, he was looking for a company to partner with who would help them with dashboards. Yeah. And I went up to Byron. I said, Byron, what do you know about this? He said, they're coming in today at 2 o'clock. What a coincidence. So we have the parallel universe here of all roads lead to Logi Analytics. And so that's how I stumbled on you. And that's kind of a strange story. Charles, tell us about your background and how you wound up with this company, please.
Sure. So I was a practitioner in this industry. And I cut my teeth at Clorox. And I had the privilege of working in a kind of a small rogue group, if you will. Our mandate, we were not part of the main IT body. Our mandate was to go solve business problems. So we were very pragmatic in how we use technology.
You may shrug your shoulders and go, Clorox, that's not a very big company. However, it is a...
It's a very, very large company.
$5 billion in sales. I mean, wow.
And, you know, everybody around the world actually uses that Clorox product. It's surprising. The bleach has made it all the way around the world.
That's great.
Worked at their corporate headquarters, but what I learned very early in my career, technology only really matters if you're solving real problems. And it doesn't matter how cool the tool is or how long it takes to implement or how much it costs. It's really about the business value that you deliver on the end of that. And my career has really been focused both as a consultant and as an internal data warehousing practitioner myself in my past, really delivering pragmatic solutions. And that's what attracted me to Logi. There's definitely a way of doing things, a orthodoxy, if you will, in BI. It can take too long. It's really complicated. It's good for solving certain kinds of problems. But as you point out, there are times when you've got very specific problems that need very specific solutions, and the heavyweight guys don't necessarily solve them well. It's too much.
So Logi has 200 people working for it.
We do. Wow. So when I joined, 4 years ago, we were about 45 folks. It was at that point that we were really getting market recognition, really getting a lot of uptake. And we have grown significantly over the last 4 years.
Time to brag. Talk about the Gartner Magic Quadrant.
So absolutely. So we're really proud of our placement. And we've always gotten good coverage by Gartner, even before being placed on the quadrant. This year, though, we moved up into the Challengers Quadrant. Very significant move for us. Came out of the niche quadrant.
And the category was?
In BI, business intelligence. Okay. And that is our core market and where we play very strongly.
You know, my listeners are very, very segmented, as I told you before the show, and they look online, they go, who's he interviewed this week? And they may want to, you know, and I've had IBM on, I've had SAS on, SAS on, I've had all the companies on. And they may look at this and go, business intelligence. Oh, you mean taking data and making decisions with them? Well, I think most of my listeners, that's what they do. They have data and they have to make decisions with it. And they're always looking for a new tool or an easier way. I mean, years ago, we used to have these things called Green Bar, and you'd go through this Green Bar and go, those numbers drive you crazy. All the statisticians would love it, and I would just go crazy. Now we have tools and ways to actually graphically depict some of this information. I think that is an area. So if my listeners have a mountain of information, they're trying to make a decision on it, sometimes an organization like yours can say, well, here's a tool to graphically represent this information.
Absolutely. And then and once you've got it graphically represented, how do you get it out into the hands of the people that need it? And that's a place we play very strongly. Our web-based architecture was really part of the innovation that allows us to reach very broad audiences, and we do it very economically. We reach out on mobile devices, on browsers. We have a lot of use cases where we reach audiences external to the organization. So Commonwealth of Virginia uses us in their EVA portal to communicate to purchasers and vendors to the Commonwealth about who's buying what, how much they're buying. And we see a lot of those type of applications, both with our federal clients and government clients, as well as our commercial clients, where they need to talk to vendors, customers, partners. And that's a really interesting niche for us.
I was talking to some gubbies the other day, and it was at an event, and I was sitting at a table, and we were kind of talking about stuff. And I said, well, you guys are going to have to hire some administrators and get this thing. I said, no. We don't need administrators. We need data scientists. Yeah. We need, you know, the administration's getting easy. What we need is the people who can analyze the information that we have.
Absolutely.
That's the challenge for my listeners, isn't it?
It is the challenge. And in fact, here's what we vendors are trying to do right now. We're definitely not trying to eliminate the data scientists, but we know that we're not going to grow a bunch of those people out of nowhere. We're trying to produce products that help mere mortals like you and I become data scientists, take advantage, and even work with data scientists more closely. And one of the things we're very excited about right now, we're bringing a data discovery product into the market that we call Vision. It is general availability now, but you'll see the big marketing push in early January. And a lot of what that product does in kind of the technology of the product, it does a lot of the data enrichment, the data cleansing, the data augmentation, and then produces the visualizations associated with that data so that a business analyst gets a lot of the benefit of all the cool stuff data scientists know how to do without having to know how to do all of that. And then it augments the data scientists. They can do the work that they're good at and get that distributed out to the business analyst. So it facilitates that flow. And I think that's really going to be key. And that is, quite frankly, what technology should do. It should take a lot of those best practices and skill sets that you're not going to be able to easily replicate and automate those things.
I was at LogiAnalytics.com, and I read through your description of your company. Founded in the year 2000,
yep.
Work with over 1,000 companies, kind of easy two numbers to remember,
yes.
And you have 200 employees. So are all those 200 employees data scientists, or how is it distributed? I mean, there's got to be more than just data science.
Sure, absolutely. And, so our employee distribution is a product company. We've got kind of some key areas. And 4 years ago, when we really started our growth, we had a solid product, as you point out, very happy customers. So some of that has been growth in the sales force and the marketing team to get the word out. A lot of our core growth in the last year has been in product engineer, and we are adding data scientists. And that's not to do the data science for you. That's to get it into the products, right? That's to take what they know and get those capabilities into the product to automate it for you. But there's absolutely more to it than that. It's about data cleanliness, data augmentation. It's the big thing, though, right now that BI has kind of missed on, quite frankly, is usability. How do you take a user on a mobile phone, and this is a big challenge, I think, for us coming up, on a mobile device or a tablet, and how do you get the experience oriented towards them so they're most effective?
And the fun fact is that 3 out of 5 searches on Google are done with mobile devices.
Yes,
absolutely. And of course, what you're doing is you're addressing that specific problem.
Absolutely.
Start off your business problem solution. I mean, if that's the problem, I mean, if you have some information that looks pretty good on your 19-inch or 23-inch monitor, okay, what if you're on the way home and you got to look up something quickly on your iPhone? Well, it looks like garbage.
Absolutely, it does.
Yeah.
And the big trick is we've served the people who sit at desks very well. They're served. We're done there. And in fact, the biggest opportunity is not for the folks who sit at a PC. It's for people in warehouses, people out in the field, people who are mobile by the nature of their job, and we haven't largely reached them with these technologies. And reaching them requires being very much task-oriented and oriented to the context they're working in. What do they need to do? What size device do they have? And there can't be a lot of user interface wrapped around that. You got to get them to the point fast.
Right. I was sitting having coffee with a local CEO, and I said, well, you know, I've taken keywords from my company, and we've driven them pretty well with a search engine optimization. He goes, oh, really? Give me a keyword. And I said accreditation management. He looked up right there. He had the answer within 30. It wasn't, I'm going to go back to my office and turn on my computer and then get a cup of coffee and talk to the receptionist and look at the green. No, it's right there. It's not 30 minutes. It's 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's from an old geezer perspective. You know, the decisions aren't, I'll make decision next Tuesday. I'll make decision next 20 seconds.
Yes.
It's just, and that's what business intelligence does. It assists you in making decisions.
It does. Yeah. And the environment demands it these days.
We come back, we'll talk more about a fun topic called big data, and we'll answer the question, can big data save an agency big bucks? Perhaps you'll have the answer to that, perhaps not. You're listening to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You've been listening to Charles Caldwell, Solutions Engineer Director at Logi Analytics. Welcome back to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Charles Caldwell, Solutions Engineer Director at Logi Analytics. We're talking about big data, massive amounts of information, taking that data and try to make sense of it. Many areas is called business intelligence, all kinds of different terms for that. My question for you, Charles, is just take up this whole idea of big data. When I think of big data and analytics and big companies, I think of companies like Google. You know?
Sure.
And there was a book out a few years back called Masters of the Universe. I talked about finance people in New York City. But when I think of Masters of the Universe, I think of Google. And if you read the book In the Plex, you know, they think they're the Masters of the Universe, and especially Masters of the Universe when it comes to business intelligence, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely, they do.
So we got a lot of people involved in this world. Amazon's involved in this also. Yep. I mean, there's big data there. And you've worked with Amazon on some projects. Is that right?
Yeah. So we've partnered with Amazon on their EC2 platform, their Amazon Redshift service, and their RDS service. And those are all great examples of services that allow organizations to use the cloud, which is all about elasticity, to kind of size their architectures right and to do that dynamically. So as the need grows, as the compute need grows, you can elastically just grow your computing platform behind that. And that's especially important, I think, in a big data context. So you get massive amounts of data. You don't always necessarily get it all at once. You don't also necessarily need it all the time forever. So there's all kinds of interesting approaches to growing out a platform, running through a big data project, and maybe archiving that stuff back off and kind of shrinking that compute need again. And Amazon and the other cloud vendors are kind of showing us a new way to do that. Rather than have to build that out in our own data centers, we can acquire that as a utility and turn it on and off as needed.
So you didn't compete with Amazon at all. In fact, it could be the Google. What you do is great. We'll help you interpret that information that you
absolutely
have. That's the whole idea. I mean,
absolutely.
Bring it on.
It is. It absolutely is. And we look at those types of platforms as great partners for us. They bring capabilities that we can leverage directly, but also augment the capabilities of our own products.
When I was in high school, I used to see the, when I was a freshman, the older students would have books with analytics on it. And I go, whoa, I'm running from that. I have nothing to do with that. And sometimes, you know, people may see the title of the show and go, analytics, oh, that's boring. That's, you know, chi distribution and statistics and actuarial science and all that stuff. But an easy way to understand it is go to your website, LogiAnalytics, and there's something called Chocolate Cake Now. It's a little video, and it's like 3 minutes, and it says, okay, bunch of people all want different types of cake. How do you, and it's just for a liberal arts person, they can, oh, now I understand what that's
absolutely
all about.
Absolutely.
It makes sure everyone gets a piece of cake and we understand what cake's there, huh?
Yeah. And the BI chocolate cake analogy is a great one. And it really talks about how you produce information. And it does talk about this key problem. Everybody needs different types of information, they need the same information in different formats. And you know, one model is to build a cake factory. And you can look at a lot of the big data technologies maybe as that, right? It's an infrastructure that allows you to churn through lots of data and crank out different types of cake. But if you decide to make pies one day, you're in trouble. You got to completely rebuild the factory. Kind of the approach that we've taken, and again, it's not really an either or. Generally, organizations have kind of a both and need here. They need some factory type capabilities, but you also need some very spot agile type capabilities to augment that as well. And ideally, you don't want to have a 5-star chef on staff to handle all of the spot orders. You want a tool set. And the kind of analogy that we've used for our core platform, LogiInfo, is that it's kind of like cake mix. It's not necessarily, you know, going to get you your 5-star chocolate torte type cake, but it's going to give you a really good cake and it's going to give you a consistent result. And what's cool about it is you can customize and mix and match. And that's really what that analogy is about, is explaining to or having people kind of recognize there are a lot of different ways to get there. And for hitting it right, hitting the spectrum between kind of the super hardcore IT analyst, the data scientist type analyst, and kind of meeting in the middle at the business analyst where the decisions get made and the rubber hits the road, you need a tool set that both the IT analyst and the data scientist can work with, but it makes sense to the business analyst. They can participate in it and leverage it and get out of it what they need. That's really kind of the sweet spot that we try to hit with our tool set.
If you take a look at this business problem from a 30, 40-year perspective, what you see in the 70s is that the agricultural community wanted to get information on these huge data sets that they had. Yeah. They had to go out and hire, instead of 5-star chefs, they had to hire PhDs in math, yes, and statisticians.
Yeah,
and they'd sit and they would spend hours and hours, and it would take years and years to come up with conclusions. What's happened is in the last 4 or 5 years, we have a lot of mobile devices, we have sensors, we have this amount of information that's huge, and we have the ability to take and understand this quickly.
Yes.
All of a sudden, companies like yours can say, well, finally, we're at the point now where we can take and help you understand this without getting a 5-star chef. Maybe
absolutely,
you don't always need a 5-star. You know, lunch today, I'm not going to go to a 5-star chef.
Yeah.
At my anniversary, I'm going to a 5-star
absolutely
chef. I mean, write that down.
Absolutely.
That's once a year. But for lunch, hey, let's go get breakfast. Well, I'm not, you know, I might wind up at the local pancake parlor or
yep
something. So, I mean, and it's all well and good, and you have to have the right tool for the right application.
Absolutely. And, you know, not all problems deserve the same level of investment or attention. And you might want to be able to iterate as well. And it's really about having an entry point where you can start small and you can start to see if something makes sense and be somewhat exploratory about it and then iterate towards the big solution. And one of the things that really attracted me to Logi was that capability. I can very quickly prototype something, and then as I need to scale it out and turn it into the kind of big iron solution, I can partner with like an Amazon Redshift type infrastructure and scale kind of my prototype solution all the way out. And what was interesting to me about that, so as a BI practitioner and all my colleagues that I most respected, that's what we did. The problem is we had to do it across multiple tool sets. We would use Excel. We would use...
Even 10 years ago, 5 years ago even, right?
Even now, I still see it happening now. People, you know, kind of the people I would label kind of the smart practitioners. Sorry about any value judgment in there, but the people I would label the smart practitioners, they do. They use multiple tools, and it might look confusing, but when you ask them why, they have very specific, this is my rapid prototyping tool, this is my POC tool, this is when I need to scale it to 10,000 users, and here's my departmental solution tool, here's my dashboarding tool versus my mobile tool. And they'll have different technologies they use in that portfolio. What excited me about Logi is we cover a lot more of that spectrum very well than a lot of other folks do. And we can keep you in the same tool set and allow you to rapidly prototype, validate the solution, scale it, get it up to a big data size, put it out on the cloud, and make it elastic. And as a practitioner, that makes a lot more sense to me. It allows me to be very pragmatic about approaching problems and solving the problems in a way that reflects their value, and then scaling them as needed.
You know, Charles, many of my listeners are getting pushed into shared services.
Yeah.
Many of my listeners are getting pushed into the cloud. And so they may have their little fancy Excel spreadsheet to help them with agriculture work, interior work, commerce, whatever it happens to be, and it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And so what tool can you have that's flexible enough that you can generate information from different parts of the cloud to have your little checklist or your spreadsheet or your dashboard?
Yeah.
This might be a tool for my listeners to consider.
Absolutely. And it's So that's an area that we've played well, very well in the past, and we're very excited about our new product launch, LogiVision, which is targeted directly at business end users to be able to acquire sources of data from all over the place. Desktop personal sources, kind of the sanctioned organizational sources like the data warehouse and other systems, but also cloud sources of data. So in the corporate world, we see Salesforce is a pretty common example. It allows them to mash those things up into the data sets that make sense and then analyze them and then share that analysis and comment on it and collaborate around it. And we believe that that kind of capability is going to be critical, especially as we move into a cloud environment. Data is going to move out there, but the need to mash that data up and collaborate around that data is not going to go away. So it's this interesting place where you still need desktop analysis type capabilities for business analysts, but the data is all over the place.
All these tools to collect the data, so you have these streams of data. Now what? Hey, guess what? We got all these pancakes here. Now what are we going to do with them? Talk about House of Pancakes, and I think that's where business intelligence fits in. Let's take a break. We can come back, talk more about social media and where you fit in, and a little bit more about this product, LogiVision. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Charles Caldwell, Solutions Engineer Director at Logi Analytics. Welcome back to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Charles Caldwell, Solutions Engineer Director at Logi Analytics. We're talking about analytics and business information and taking all this data that many of my listeners have and trying to make sense of it, coming up with a dashboard, coming up with some way to make sense of it. And in many areas, it's called business intelligence. And there's all kinds of ways to get information about business intelligence. You can go to YouTube and type in business intelligence. You can read blogs about it. Many of my listeners read blogs. Does your company have a blog, Charles? Did you have a blog?
We do. So it's just our domain /blog, logianalytics.com/blog. And you know, actually, you'll see a pretty good cross-section of the company posts there. So I post there, my team posts there, our professional services, our product engineers, our marketing folks post there as well. And a lot of what we post is out of our own personal experience out in the field. We had a recent marketing post that was all about analyzing lead conversion and some of the analytics that they do internally, not just marketing message getting out.
I have seen marketing people appropriate the term predictive analytics and talk about it. It would be like me talking about brain surgery. It's
sure.
Like, you know, it's fine and dandy, but, you know, you're kind of, you know, medulla oblongata. I mean, you know, you're maybe not getting it. You know, I mean, it's just. I think you have to be very, very careful about what you talk about.
Absolutely.
You know? And I can talk about the professional football, but I really don't know what you know a double stick move is.
Yep.
And there are people who can tell you 5 hours about double
yes.
stick. And I think that's one of the dangers is that if someone says they can do predictive analytics. Well, I don't know. I may even knock on your door and see, is this really predictive? So, what is predictive analytics from
sure.
your perspective?
Sure. So. There are a lot of layers there. I mean, at its simplest, predictive analytics is any analytic technique where the decision you're trying to make is about the future. And the simple definition, I think, of predictive is telling me what could happen. And then there's this extra thing that we're just starting to talk about called prescriptive analytics that tells me not what could happen, but what I should do about it. And you've had an experience with prescriptive, and I'll give you two examples. One's on Amazon. They're telling you what book you should buy, right?
Other readers have bought.
Yeah, you got it. And Netflix is telling you what movie you should watch. But the goal would be, here's how much inventory you should order. Here's what offer you should give the customer. And you see examples of those today. If you call into American Express or your insurance company or your bank, they do a good job of cross-sell, upsell. And that's kind of a prescriptive analytics model. An algorithm has told the call center rep what they should offer you that you'll take or accept. You know, a lot of the techniques have been around with us for a long time. You know, back in World War II, a computer was a human being. And, you know, shortly thereafter, those computer human beings and the we call them data scientists now, they've been applying these techniques in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. Folks like Procter & Gamble and a lot of folks here in D.C. and the agencies have used these kind of techniques to try to understand big problems. I think what's happened is we've got these compute platforms now, 64-bit and virtualization and cloud and grid and all this cool stuff that's kind of exploded over the last 5 or 10 years that has enabled us to apply those algorithms more cheaply because we can do it with computers rather than humans, and we can scale them. And we also are measuring everything now. So we're measuring, people wear Fitbits around and it measures human movement. We're our interactions are on websites. So while you can't necessarily track me walking through the mall, although people are trying to do that now, you absolutely can track me as I walk through your website. And that yields so much data. And all of these techniques are data hungry. And that's why advanced analytics and big data kind of go hand in hand. The advanced analytic techniques have always wanted lots of data. And now we can accommodate lots of data, and it makes advanced analytic techniques even more effective.
In 1980, my wife bought a car that was a Subaru, and it had an option for air conditioning.
Yeah.
And there's a little box there. You can put it in if you want.
Yep.
It's kind of funny. When you look at a company like Oracle, all of a sudden you may look and go, oh, geez, they do analytics too.
Absolutely.
They do predictive analytics.
Yeah.
And they have dashboards too. And oh, by the way, Microsoft can do it too.
Absolutely.
And oh, by the way, Tony's Pizza can do it. I mean, does everyone do it? Who does it? I mean, why would someone... If you went to Oracle and they said, this is what we can do, why'd you even knock on your door?
Sure. So you've got a few different types of players in the BI market. And this is true generally in all technology. The big players, and in BI, we refer to them as the MISO players, Microsoft, IBM, SAP, and Oracle.
Like not MISO
the soup. Yeah, like the soup, but not the soup. You know, those guys are full stack implementations. And there's, of course, there's some benefits to be had from kind of the vertical integration you get with going with a full stack. The challenge there is that those stacks have been acquired over time from multiple vendors. So I could pick on Oracle. They acquired Hyperion. They acquired Siebel. They acquired
and
a
all of a sudden, snap their
folks.
Fingers, they got it, right?
Yeah. Theoretically. So there's usually a lot of work to do to get those integrated stacks truly integrated. They're hard to implement, and they don't solve all problems. Where we often play, so it just depends on who you are, but I'll pick a large enterprise. We'll go into a large enterprise, and they have those. They have a vendor, typically. They'll be an Oracle shop or an SAP shop or a Microsoft shop.
Of course, yeah.
The way we play there is by augmenting those capabilities. So all of those people end up being competitors and partners and kind of a co-opetition model, if you're familiar with that. So we both compete and cooperate. With those other vendors. We report off Oracle databases all day long. I love Oracle Rack as a great back end to work with because it's a scalable grid system.
Here's a secret about Microsoft. I was in a Microsoft office down the road a couple years back. All their stuff was an Oracle database.
Oh, sure, sure.
I was like, well, don't tell anyone it's an Oracle database we use here.
Yeah.
Wait a minute here. Yeah. And you didn't see that. You didn't see that. Isn't that funny?
Well, and we're all technology pragmatists at the end of all this. And it's like anything else. You don't just have one tool in your toolbox. You don't just walk around with the hammer whacking everything. When it comes time to fix the stained glass window, you put the hammer down and you use the right set of tools. And we see ourselves work very well in environments where we're able to augment or complement those capabilities. And even the other big BI vendors will get brought into shops where they've tried to implement something like external facing customer portals is a classic example for us. Mobile is another one where they've tried to implement it with another BI stack. And it just wasn't optimized to do that. And they've run into all sorts of issues. They bring us in, we're able to quickly meet that use case, and it has enough value that they say, absolutely, we're going to take this tool set, add it into our portfolio, and use it to accomplish these types of use cases that the rest of our stack's either too expensive, too hard, or just flat out doesn't do it.
Charles, I do a lot of public speaking, and I've studied it carefully. One precept in public speaking is, don't tell them verbally what you can tell them visually.
Sure, absolutely.
And so, boy, go right back to not. It should be the motto for your company. I mean,
yes.
For you, your business card should say visualization means value.
Absolutely. And you know, this is there's a great old quote, and I forget who it was, but it was a statistician that said, you know, getting information out of a table of numbers is like trying to get light out of a cucumber. It went in there, but it's hard to get it back out. And, you know, the idea of using visualization, and the human brain is absolutely cued to pick up visual input, and it's a very kind of broad input channel for us. And so using shapes and patterns and colors, we are wired. We have evolved. Our brains have evolved to really interpret those kinds of signals. We see differences much faster. It's much more evolved than kind of the linguistic center of our brain, which numbers require you to take it into your linguistic center, figure out what it means, and draw a comparison. We just don't do it. This is one of the big things in computing and human-computer interaction, and the guys up at University of Maryland, Ben Schneiderman and those guys, what they talk about
Ben Peterson and Allison Druin,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. How do we get the computers to work for us?
Computer lab interface. I got a T-shirt.
Yeah. How do we not work for them? How do we get them to work for us? And getting them to show us the information. And we talked about big data earlier. One of the key strategies with big data is to visualize it and see if you start to see patterns and then be able to kind of filter and focus and sift and sort. And that's absolutely what we're doing in BI, whether it's presentation of kind of known metrics and their status in a very traditional dashboarding sense, or in more of a data exploration sense where we allow end users to take a data set and basically say, show me what's going on in that data set and let me kind of visually work through it so that I can see and recognize patterns. Much, much more effective.
A pattern we have is taking a break. And we can take a break and come back, talk more about embedded analytics and where they fit and static and dynamic embedding and see where it might have some value for our listeners. You're listening to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Charles Caldwell, Solutions Engineer Director at Logi Analytics. Welcome to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Charles Caldwell, Solutions Engineer Director at Logi Analytics. Talking about business intelligence, big data, predictive analytics, whole wide range of subjects here. Some of my listeners read blogs, some listen to podcasts, and some are active in Twitter. You folks active in Twitter, what's your handle for your company?
We are. So it's Logi Analytics.
That's easy.
Yeah. So you can follow us there. And I am C. Caldwell at Logi. I tend to tweet infrequently, but as I get out to industry shows, which I do throughout the year, that tends to be my highest point of interaction. I'm often making a lot of the snarky comments
while
others are presenting and you know, kind of updating from the floor.
I like the phrase, live tweeting. I'll be live tweeting, yeah, mostly insults.
Absolutely, yeah.
He has a sweater just like mine. He must be smart.
Yeah.
Or his wife bought it too. That's probably more like it.
That's it.
My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray, and I'll be tweeting about this. And if you want to find my blog, it's real simple. You go to Google, type in John Gilroy blog, and it pops right up. It's called the Tech Tuesday blog. And I have a lot of fun with it. I take pictures of people and put it up there and try to give some links back to things like the chocolate cake now. I mean, that's what people have maybe listened to this interview and then you go back, oh, that the chocolate cake now thing, that's kind of a funny thing.
Yeah.
I guess maybe I get an understanding of the company by doing some silly video about chocolate cake. And that communicates, doesn't
Absolutely
it?
Absolutely does.
It really does. Speaking of communication, I'd like to communicate to my listeners whether or not you are a card-carrying nerd. I'm sure the people listening going, he kind of sounds nerdy, but no, I don't know. And I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, I wonder what kind of phone he has. Because I always ask, when I think, you know, like security guys on, they go, what? And so what I've come up with is a scientific 10-question test.
All right.
Which you will respond to, and we will find out exactly what level of nerd
Excellent.
You are, or maybe even a cool guy, but probably some kind of variation of nerd.
No, we'll see.
First question. I come over to your house this afternoon. How many desktops do I find there?
The desktops are low, but we do have two. We've got an old
two.
Desktop with Ubuntu on it that the kids use.
And Ooh, a Windows you get point. 8. All of a sudden, you get more See? Points for
and,
that.
And,
That's
and
points.
We've got a Windows 8 touchscreen desktop that we got just, you know, so we can
you
come
You dodged the bullet
on
that one, you know. Number of cell phones you've purchased in the last year?
Oh, two.
Two, yeah. That's a good number. You are getting the nerd points here. You really are. And you have a personal Twitter feed. We know that.
Yes.
And you have a personal blog?
I do, yes. It's mostly about the kids, though.
Well, you're getting some points here. Yeah. Do you use any personal online backup?
I do. So CrashPlan is my preferred right now because it also does local backup really well, so I can do on-site, off-site.
Good. What kind of smartphone do you have?
Currently an iPhone 5.
And how many apps on that have you used in the last 30 days?
So I range at about 40 apps, and I'd say probably 20 or so are my core active apps.
20, that's pretty
and
good.
And then I crank through new apps all the time because I'm constantly exploring. But they
I'm always looking for the app of the month.
Yeah, they don't stick as often though. So
I break into your house tonight and roam around. How many tablet devices will I find in there?
Four. So and that includes old iPads, some newer iPads, and Kindle Fire.
And what social networking sites are you active in?
Oh, Facebook tends to be the primary. LinkedIn is out there as well. So that's really more career networking. I've got a Snapchat account, if that counts as well, and do a lot of consumption of Twitter.
And the final question, the deciding factor, is last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
Well, so this is interesting. So the answer is yes, and I'll add another one.
Wow, so, we know what that means. Yeah. You're giving a political answer.
So for things like reference books that I need to reference often, I find paper is the superior format. For things I'm going to read straight through, I read digital, and in fact, I am reading a digital book right now. For things that are really complicated, have lots of characters or complex concepts, audio is actually better for me than either.
Well, I never
of
even
those
had that
two.
As a choice, you yeah. know. That's usually for people with long commutes, you know, or
and
something
I absolutely
like that.
Yeah, long commute, on the commute.
And they listen to commute. That's a good
so
idea.
So I use all three formats, but I use them very purposefully. I know which one is good for me for which things.
I'm thinking if a book like a current version of software, maybe like a current version of your software, is something you may want to read electronically because you know it's going to change.
Yeah.
But if you're going to read a classic like the Aeneid, but maybe you want a nice paper that's acid-free and keep that on the shelf. You
know, absolutely.
Especially if you read it in Latin.
As an artifact, yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. There is a concept here called embedded tools.
Yeah.
And so what is an embedded tool? Would a user with Oracle call you up and say, hey, embed one of your tools in my system? Or what is an embedded tool?
Absolutely. So the whole concept with embedded analytics is BI for a long time has been this standalone system. And I could pick on Oracle, right? Because it evokes kind of climbing the mountain and going up and seeing the Oracle and then getting the insights and coming back
down. Oracle of the Potomac. That's what I am.
Yes. And hopefully being able to remember. A lot of BI systems have been monolithic that way. You have to leave the systems you're in, go into a special system, get the answer to your question, and then kind of port that back over. The idea with embedded analytics is we kind of hit people right where they're at, where they're doing the work, at the point of making a decision. So a call center analyst in a call center application immediately is getting information about the person they're talking to. What's the likelihood they'll churn as a customer? What are the cross-sell, upsell opportunities? What's their lifetime value as a customer? So they get information that helps them make a decision in the moment about how to work with this particular individual. The goal with or the kind of mechanism there is being able to take a analytics tool and embed it in other process-driven applications, the call center application, a shopping application. So Amazon is a great example of embedded analytics. Not only are they getting me through the process of buying the book, they're giving me all kinds of information to help me decide if I should buy the book or not. There's reviews, there's recommendations for other books, there's prices from different vendors other than Amazon. There's all that stuff. That's the idea. You take somebody who's at the point of making a decision and you enrich their process flow or the system they're working in with analytic information and capabilities that help them make that decision more effectively and efficiently.
So the big categories I would assume would be static or dynamic. Is that the two different categories
sure.
of embedded applications?
Sure. And you know, one of the ways we actually talk about it as well is kind of the granularity or the level of embedding. So you know, and more of the static form is what we refer to as kind of bolt-on embedding, where the embedded analytics are there, but the context and the flow isn't necessarily as closely integrated as you would want it to be. So you're getting information, and Forrester actually refers to this as embedded awareness. Actually, what you've embedded there in the process is kind of some awareness, but you haven't necessarily attached it to the action or the flow of the action. And as you get more dynamic or more integrated, that analytic actually becomes part of the decision-making process. So you think of a site like Kayak, where you think you're buying a plane ticket, but actually what you're doing is conducting an analysis first. You're entering some parameters, some limitations. You're getting a list of possible choices.
Hotwire,
you're
same thing, filters. Hotels,
yeah. You're using filters to adjust those choices. And then at the end of that analysis, you click a button to actually go purchase. That is really an example where the analytics have been completely infused. It's not just awareness of what ticket prices are. You've gone through an analytic process to choose the ticket. Truly another of those interesting kind of real estate sites are the same thing. They're giving you a lot of analysis around
Z-I-L-L-O-W.
Zillow, yeah, are giving you analysis around home prices and all that stuff. And it's an analytic process that then potentially results in a transaction, as opposed to a transaction with some augmented awareness of information around it. And we play well across that continuum. And in fact, we see a lot of our customers kind of push up that continuum to getting more towards an infused state than they do with traditional tools, which quite frankly, mostly just support kind of that bolt-on if they support an embedded model at all.
What about the next 5 years here? Your company has grown drastically in the last 5 years. Yeah. Next 5 years, more international, more federal work, become a consumer phrase like Clorox, or where's your company head in the next five years?
Yeah, absolutely. So, our big mandate right now is to continue to get out there and reach more customers and to create innovative products and continue to deliver products out to the market. What we see in the short term is absolutely movement into Europe. So we've got a great thriving practice in the UK right now, and we see opportunity coming back on the continent as well. We're looking into Asia Pacific as well as a long-term expansion. Here in North America, some of our key growth areas right now are into the large enterprise. So we've had a long history in the mid-market. And a very strong history with actually other application vendors who build SaaS deployed applications and embed us as the analytic capability.
Exactly why, that's how I found you.
And it's interesting, large enterprises are starting to use that model, the monolithic BI model they've done, and now they're looking to augment their own capabilities with embedded. So that's where we see the growth going.
There are home repair, if you can't do it yourself, call us, and this is what, if you can't
Absolutely.
Do yourself, call your company. Another motto I've come up with. Well, we're going to have to end our discussion here on predictive analytics and business intelligence. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Charles Caldwell, Solutions Engineer Director at Logi Analytics.
John, it's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and federalnewsradio.com.